It can't be true about the pay-per-view. That has to be that has to be made up about that TNA pay-per-view. Did you see that? It's that I read somewhere that they said that it only got 500 buys on television. I guess if you factor in the fact that maybe a lot of people, that anybody that watches that promotion, maybe they actually subscribe to their streaming service, so they aren't going to buy it. But it's just still wild to me that it only got, if it's true, that it only got 500 buys.
Dude, I bet you they got 500 buys by accident. That's, dude, I'm not even kidding. Because people subscribe to it. And may have not even known that it was even on.
I have their app, but that's just because I bought their app because I was like, fuck it. I'll spend the money or whatever and watch the old shit. Just because I never bought the $10 pay-per-views or whatever. So I was just like, this is the promotion I've never watched before. And their app actually isn't that.
Yeah, but how long does it take you to watch it before you realize you never watched it before? And why?
It's pretty quick.
Of course it is. Who the fuck is Joe Hendry? Why aren't they still explaining this to me? Who is Joe Hendry?
I don't even know what that means.
It's a guy who's on TV right now. Who comes out every week and he has a song that's like in the top of Apple. In the UK. Or something. His theme song is like in the top of Apple. It's Joe Hendry. But you look at him. He looks like he should be washing my car. Put my floor mats in, Aaron. You know what I mean?
I'm looking him up right now because I don't know who he...
Yeah, but you got to spell his name right. There's a he spells it all. It's Joe Hendry.
Apparently, he is the longest reigning Impact Digital Media Champion. That's a thing. The Impact Digital Media Champion.
No, I think we are. I think me, you, and Aaron are the longest reigning digital media champions. Impact should just throw us the belt. Somebody's got to do it because
I'm the Instagram champion. Yeah.
The funniest description I've heard of a wrestler in like the last month was Jim Cornette describing that Shane Taylor guy from AEW.
Oh, the battle axe guy with the legs?
Yeah, the big black guy. He said he's got Mo's body and Mabel's ass.
Dude. Yeah. Oof. I guess being his tailor wasn't the easiest job in the world. Cause he does. He's got some sort of upper body, some kind of upper body, and oh lord of a lower body.
And apparently he's a man on a mission.
They said that.
Yeah, Mo's body and Mabel's ass. I say that's a great.
Well, didn't they say that on the show?
Cornette said it. Okay, I was gonna say I don't know because I skip when they do TV reviews. I like to listen to them answer questions. I don't really listen to them review the TV shows because I know what I'm gonna get there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant they mentioned it on the TV show, not Cornette.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
He said it in the drive-thru. He said, he's like, yeah, Shane Taylor, he's got Mo's body and Mabel's ass. Best way to describe him.
Wow. I think I married that.
Well... Just like last week, I'm leaving this in. But this week on Reliving the Extreme, we are discussing the episode of ECW from June the 11th, 1996. I'm starting to leave in the stuff we talk about before the show because the past couple of weeks it's been pretty entertaining shit. Just leave it in.
And on this show, a whole lot happened, but nothing happened.
Yep, a whole lot of ink was spilled, but not a whole lot of content was written. I agree, Aaron.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, Aaron. I have down here. I actually have down here. It feels like more happened than last week's episode, but I have less notes than last week's episode.
Oh, I just started making notes of people in the crowd. Like, that's what I started making notes of.
Third row, like, seven seats over, is picking his nose.
It was mostly a, hey, I know that guy. Yeah. I think I even had some of Jessica's kids' names in here. Because it was people that I knew. Like, I was like, yeah, I know all these people. But the open, I gotta tell you, Nate, I was a big fan of. You know, I mean, are we getting there right now?
So you're talking about the press conference deal with Taz and Paul Varlins, right?
Yeah, because it was a different opening, not a different opening from ECW per se, because we've already seen it with Knight of the Lions Cross, but it was a different opening because it was just the way it was presented. And I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, like, it came off as, I wrote that down here too. It's a different speed for the opening of the show. You have the contract signing. They're hyping it like a fight instead of like your normal crazy ECW, whatever you want to say. And the only thing that, and we'll get into the meat and potatoes here, as they would say, but the only thing that bothers me, and it shouldn't, I guess it shouldn't, because I've seen the little guy beat up the big guy before, but the size difference between them is shocking.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even my biggest takeaway from it. It's like, obviously this wasn't a legit press conference, but if that was the best
oh, I can't wait to hear this.
They got out of Paul Varlins. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, Joey was like, oh, Paul Varlins, he's the guest in this situation, so we're going to let him go first. And he was like, yeah, I came to watch, I came to Philadelphia to watch ECW The Extreme, and this guy, he wants a fight. So I said, yeah.
Okay, well, what did you expect out of him?
I didn't expect him to call it ECW, yeah, The Extreme.
Well, that means he's stupid.
He is stupid. But at least do another take and say, I came to watch Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, but like, no. Like,
if this is the best they got out of it, it's like, God damn.
No, but I disagree, because I thought that was perfect. Because he's presented as a new guy there. A new guy to a company that he doesn't even work for that was basically provoked, you know.
It's kind of like Mike Tyson going Cold Stone.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then Austin had to be like, Stone Cold. It's Stone Cold.
but he still knew who he was.
Right, right.
Yeah, but I thought it was cool. I mean, I got it. I mean, it didn't. I'm sorry, it didn't affect my viewing pleasure. Which, oof, never mind.
Just you know, him going. I came to Philadelphia to watch ECW.
Who was filling? Anyway. Anybody know any of the people that were filling the roles of Team Extreme or Team Taz behind Taz?
Just Chetty. He's the only one that I knew, and it was one of Chetty's. And I can't remember his name. I swear it'll come to me later on, but it was one of Chetty's kids. Cause these were guys that were from Taz's dojo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Chetty was, because Taz opened the dojo and Chetty was the one that pretty much ran it.
Taz's name was on the door, but he wasn't there day to day.
No, I mean, he was there. He sat there and he answered the phones all day long, because I used to call him. I used to call him all the time, and I used to read the sheets to him. So yeah, that's where I called him at all the time. He was like, hey, brother.
That's what I was just about to say. Thanks for calling the dojo, brother. How can I help you?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, all right, Taz. Yeah. I hope you're not busy, because I want to read what's going on in Mexico right now, in Acapulco.
Tell me what's going on, Blue Demon, brother.
Yeah, well, Blue Demon lost his mask again. he lost his hair, his wife's hair, his neighbor's hair, his banker's hair.
And Jake Roberts' coke, all in one day.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think happened to poor Blue Demon? I'll tell you what happened. Listen to this. That's what happened to Blue Demon.
Arrivederci.
Yeah, Blue Demon. Something tells me that Blue Demon's name is going to come up again later on.
It's one of my favorite stupid Ultimate Warrior promos. I'm sorry. It just came to my head. At Survivor Series, what is it? The one where they had the Ultimate, it's like 90, I think. Anyway, where all the survivors from the previous matches are going to go into a final match of survival. And the three faces are Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and Tito Santana. And the Ultimate Warrior says, you're going to face the power of Hulkamania. You're going to face Warrior Wildness. And you're going to face Arrivederci.
Wow. I thought he said Arriba come lately.
Arriba McIntyre.
anything but Arriba Kaderci?
Yeah, instead of the word is actually Arrivederci. This fucking idiot says Arrivederci. Anyway, we're not talking about.
I mean, he was a known ignorant racist. So fuck him.
This is true.
Glad he's dead. Glad he's dead.
Dino Bravo.
Not Dino Bravo, the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh yeah, he was something else.
Well. The gist of the press conference here, of course, is that Taz and Varlins are going to fight at Hardcore Heaven. And essentially, Taz says he wants to fight Varlins because pretty much Sabu is... He's alluding to the fact that Sabu is too much of a pussy to fight him, so he's going to fight this Varlins guy. Varlins says, may the best man win. And Taz says, oh, I will. Is there anything else? Man. Yeah, I thought so too. Like I said, the only thing, and again, it's something stupid. It doesn't matter. Just the size difference was very striking. But like I said, I've seen Ultimate Fighting matches where, like, you know, a skinny little dude takes down a big fat guy or whatever, and you know, so anything can happen. But it just I guess last week, because Varlins was on the floor and Taz was up in the ring, I didn't realize this. You know what I mean? How much fucking taller he was than Taz.
Yeah.
But then when they did the face to nipple, then I realized
it happened to Paul Varlins in the UFC. Like, he got exposed by a Taz. Like, he did. He got exposed by a Taz like multiple times. That's the funny thing is, he never really lost. The only person that he lost to that was his own size was oh my God, I can't think of his name now. But yeah, he only fought one guy like that was even close to his size. But his record was always like 4-7, or you know what I mean? Like, my record was even better than that. He lost all the time to like smaller guys. But it was cool because nobody, I mean, at the time, what was the internet? You know right. what I mean? Who was going to look up Paul Varlins' record? They could have said he was a fucking 137-0. You know, he beat up his grandmom 39 times as an asterisk.
At this point, were they even calling it the Ultimate Fighting Championships yet? Or was it just okay? Yeah, it I get my timeline screwed up with UFC sometimes because I know for a while it just started out as like, you know, it was just Ultimate Fighting. They weren't really that organized or whatever. And then at some point they branded it, and I can never remember exactly when they branded it.
Oh yeah, by this point they definitely were. Like, they had a great crew of guys. I mean, like, you know, a stellar. This is like one of their best crew of guys they've ever had in this time period. Yeah,
this would have been like I think they had like the Gracies and Chemo and
Severn,
all those guys doing it.
Oh no! Around this time, they had the Colemans, the Mark Kerrs, still the Gracies. Yeah, but they had a whole. They had some of the Kimbos, not Kimbos, the Chemos. Yeah, they had this is like a little bit of the past, and then moving into the future. This is what this is.
Yeah, this is what
Paul Varlins was one of the past. because he eventually came back to fight Tank Abbott again, who was already in the past. He couldn't wait for WCW to call him.
He was just looking forward to that whole working. He wanted to work with Three Count so bad.
Well, he did in UFC for a while.
All right. Well, after this segment, we get our, of course, our welcome to the show with Joey Styles, who tells us that we are going to see the return to ECW of Brian Pillman tonight, and I believe probably his last appearance. But then we get the Dudleys versus the FBI, and my first note is DW is still here.
He's got a new hat, though.
He does have a new hat.
But they're still on the payphone. They don't have other options of calling Big Dick. Or have we even seen that yet?
I don't think so. Were
they still on the payphone?
No, that I don't think they've shown that yet. I think that's later on, actually. Okay. after Big Dick has already reemerged. That sounded dirty. Anyway, yeah, DW's still around. So's Chubby and the other one. I don't know. A sign guy sticks around, though, for a long time. But Chubby Dudley's still here looking ultra chubby. DW's still here, like Aaron said, with a new hat. And it's the Dudleys versus the FBI. So
FBI look good, though.
Yeah, and I like the little thing they did at the beginning with Bubba and JT having a sing-off, and JT doesn't even know the words to the FBI's Sinatra theme song. And it was fun. You know, it was a fun little start to the thing. And you're getting both gimmicks over at the same time, which is important. And they're both entertaining.
Did you catch how much they announced the combined weight of the FBI?
I did not.
It was like 487 pounds. Yeah, 431 pounds. Like, that's how much Bubba weighs.
Dude, I laughed my ass off because I was like, there's got to be a joke in there somewhere.
Is that how much Gertner's gonna weigh eventually?
Yeah, because, I mean, 431 pounds. I mean, some guy weighs 260 pounds. The other guy weighs like 113. Is that what you're saying?
No, you said Bubba only weighed 350 pounds. Bubba was way over 300.
Oh no, his regular weight was 347.
I don't watch AEW, so I'm assuming the Bo Mabel guy weighs 430.
His bottom half.
The Mo Mabel guy we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, his bottom half does.
But then, of course, Bubba and JT have a little fun on the mic, and then Devon comes in and he's serious on the mic. And then the match begins. And did you guys have any specific notes on anything during the match itself? Because I don't.
I only have two notes on it. The slingshot gourd buster thing they did right at the beginning with when Bubba hit it on Little Guido looked like shit. That looked horrible. And when Devon fell off the middle rope,
yeah,
I'm not a wrestler, so I don't know. But I don't know if that was on purpose or if he actually.
Well, my note actually had for Nate to tell me what he thought, because I'm probably in agreement with you, Aaron, that I think that it was work.
The reason I thought it was probably work is because he was in there with JT, you know, and JT's known for purposely fucking shit up. So I'm like, that was probably them either doing it to just do it and be funny or Devon ribbing JT.
I would agree with that, probably.
Yeah, you know? It was just to show that it could happen to anyone and that it's not just JT. But, you know, JT's the exception. So, yeah, that's what I thought.
Devon doesn't, but I thought Devon doesn't fuck up very much. Yeah, Devon doesn't fuck up very much. Like when I watched, I'm like, Devon's pretty, he's a pretty stellar worker. So I thought it was a work.
And Devon's not a big going up to the top rope guy anyway.
Yeah.
Or middle rope or any rope.
But yeah, Devon winds up getting the Dudleys disqualified because he cracks the referee with a chair. And
he cracks everybody with a chair.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
But the first guy, the first guy hits is Pee Wee Moore. Which back in 96, if that guy was in the phone book and that was his real name, he'd be Moore Pee Wee. So he cracks Moore Pee Wee. And then we get Big Dick.
We got Moore Pee Wee and Big Dick here on the Reliving the Extreme podcast.
And I'm going through a bad relationship. Good Lord. Yeah, we get Moore Pee Wee and Big Dick. Okay. All right. I think the word kid me is coming up anyway.
But yes, after all this insanity ensues, Highway to Hell or whatever WWE's version of it hits, and Big Dick Dudley.
Real quick. Oh, real quick, sorry.
No, that's all right.
I did think it was funny when Devon hit DW, Joey was like, oh, he broke his new hat.
Well, you thought it was funny.
We get the return of Big Dick Dudley to the ECW arena now. But of course, Devon, we aren't sure if Devon knows that Big Dick returned or not because he's already out of the arena. He chased he chased someone out of the ring with a chair. I don't even know.
Another Dudley.
I think it was more Pee Wee.
Why can't it be just another Dudley? And you can just do yakety sax again.
Pee Wee Dudley.
Pee Wee Dudley.
Yeah. Yakety sax.
Yeah.
Just show me the Dudleys in a car every single week.
Running through a parking lot.
Like, I've really...
It really is one of the funniest moments in pro wrestling history. That...
I really think I've come to this in my life where all I need every single day is a pack of cigarettes, like a 12-pack of beer, and the wise Bubba Dudley just running around in the locker room or whatever, yakety sax. And I think I'll just die a happy person. Sounds all right, right?
The next thing we get on the show, like I said, I mean, the result of record will be that the FBI won this match by disqualification. I guess it's hard to get disqualified in ECW, but if you hit the referee with a chair, so they made it make sense here, because I always say that, like, there's times where you wonder why there's even a referee calling.
Well, they've done that other than to be there
to make a pinfall count or whatever. Like when somebody's got somebody in a chokehold or something in ECW and the referee's doing the count or whatever, I'm just like, they just hit each other with a cheese grater. You're going to disqualify them for holding a headlock too long. But in this instance, the disqualification made sense.
Well, Joey did a great job of explaining that. I mean, did he not?
Yeah, he did. He did. He brought that up. And that's what made me think, all right, at least you made it make sense.
Oh, so you sat there and you like kind of ate some crow and you're all like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I'm trying to be a little bitch about it. And then I'm like, okay.
He made it all right.
I can't act like the internet dweebs now and bitch about it.
Yeah, he did a good job.
I agree. And that's why he was the perfect guy to be the narrator. He just, I don't know that anybody, could anybody else have done that? Could anybody else have done that job to just narrate the insanity?
Oh, if you're asking, I would definitely vote for Mike Alame. He would have been great.
Coming here to ECW will be Jeff Harvey.
Yeah.
Jamaican me crazy, Kofi Kingston.
Sabu's putting everybody through the picnic tables.
Picnic table.
Just imagine where ECW would have been if Joe Adamy or Mike Adamy would have been a commentator there. No, Joey Styles did a great job. And consistently, it's because he knew his situation. Like, Joey Styles was not 100% in control of what he was doing there anyway. So you can't give Joey all the credit for being as good as he was without Paul sitting there telling him what to say.
I get that. And I, like I said, I know people say that, you know, cause like it was post-production or whatever, but when you get into those live shows or whatever, like, that was Joe. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Paul was consistent.
But he really didn't do that many of them. I'm not even sure he really did any of them, honestly, Aaron.
The live shows?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, when they get into, like, the pay-per-view era, that was
Joe. Oh, okay. It's a different story. I'm talking about, you know what I mean? I'm talking about where we're at now.
Yeah, and I get that. I'm just saying, like, I hear a lot of times what you're saying, Chad, and I understand that with this era of it. But, like, when – and we're going to get into it later, obviously. But when you get into that pay-per-view era, that was Joey. There were times where he was just the guy on a fucking 2-hour and 15-minute pay-per-view.
All by himself.
Not a lot of guys that can say they did that. Yeah, there's not a lot of guys that can say they did that. I don't think there's anybody that can say they did that.
Well, now, besides Jim Ross.
As far as and just like as great as Jim Ross was, he still had Lawler with him. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't be able to do what those guys. I wouldn't be able to do what those guys do just because of my fucking bladder. Like, I think about like, okay,
well, that's why JR said you always wore darks.
Yep, brown
pants, yeah, darks, brother. Like, imagine, because what would happen to me is it would be WrestleMania. You're in some big fucking stadium where it's going to take you, even if it is a locker room bathroom, it's still going to take you probably 10 minutes to walk to it. And I'm going to sit down in my chair to start commentating. And at that very moment, I'm going to have to pee. Like, that's just
why Jim Ross. That's why Jim Ross said he always wore darts. It's like, if I got to piss, I'm going to piss. We lost Chad.
We lost Chad, everybody. I'm sure he'll be back. But yeah, I'm gonna roll with what you were saying there and totally agree. Joey Styles, like I said, it was the perfect guy to narrate ECW, and like you said, real soldier when it comes to those 3-hour pay-per-views. I mean, I'm sure, you know, they would do what during those pay-per-views, unless it was one of those crazy ones that just went from match to match to match. During those pay-per-views, there'd be a couple like little video packages where maybe he could run over and get, because you know, in the ECW arena, it was probably just run over to the fucking,
yeah, just in a cup.
Yeah.
There's no bathrooms with the ECW arena. Yeah.
Oh, they had a bathroom. They had like one.
It probably smelled terrible.
You can't use it, dude. Like, you go in there as a novelty to look at. Like, you're not using it. Like, you know what I mean? No matter how bad you had to go, you're not going into that bathroom. Like, that's where Tommy Dreamer got all his stuff from, I think. It was everything that was just shoved in a toilet.
I just think of it's like, it is the most, if toilets had feelings.
Oh, that toilet.
That would be sad. That would be the most depressed toilet on the planet.
Oh, it was hurting. Yeah, that toilet. Yeah.
That thing's like I've seen Tommy. That toilet's been like I've seen Tommy Dreamer. I've seen the Headhunters.
Okay.
They look like the Headhunters look like they can shift some bricks.
I've seen Big Sal and Valpuccio.
Oh, God.
I didn't realize you had a fat fetish.
I'm just saying what this toilet has seen.
Dude, that toilet, nobody used that toilet other than the people who set that building up that morning. Unless it was just people that just piled on.
Nobody I've seen did. Hunter Q after. I've seen Hunter Q after a Nachos Bel Grande.
Dude, that if you think it's Brett,
if you think it's
shit,
if you think it's Brett, if you think his breath was bad, good lord,
nobody used Hunter that toilet. Like they brought in
the Headhunters.
Like they brought in the back. Fuck the Headhunters. They ain't using that toilet either. They brought in a like a trailer, like a thing. Like for all of us to take a shower in, that had like a water reservoir in it. Like that's where, like, every one of us eventually had walked to that bathroom and just said, "There's no chance. just no way we're taking a shower in here. And that stupid shower in the back that they had was already all the hot water, if there was any to begin with, was already taken up by whoever got beat up besides me in the first three or four matches. Sandman or somebody was probably in there or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they brought in like a big mobile shower. And I never saw anybody in there.
The next thing on the show, we spent too long on the toilet here. The next thing on the show is
so did Mikey, the Headhunters.
Mikey Whipwreck against, I'd lost my fucking place. Mikey Whipwreck against Rob Van Dam. Mikey is limping to the ring, and Joey lets us know that Mikey has had fluid drained from his knee a few times in the past week, but he is wrestling, even though he is injured. And it's Mikey versus Rob Van Dam. It's a rematch, I think, from a few weeks ago. I think we got to watch them wrestle each other a few weeks ago, if I remember correctly, or at least highlights of them wrestling each other.
It must have been good. They wouldn't have done it at the ECW Arena if it wasn't any good.
I was going to say, this thing's only like, the match is only like 3 minutes long. Of course, this
Mikey,
is just...
Mikey pops me, though. I'll let you...
No, go ahead.
Set it up, but I'm just saying, like, the match almost starts, and then Brian Pillman rolls himself out, and he's yelling at Mikey to come down on the floor and confront him. And he's like telling him that he's a loser or whatever. And Mikey jumps out and Pillman looks at him and he goes, "What are you going to do? Smack a guy in a wheelchair?" And Mikey goes, "Yep." And smacks it. It's like, that's fucking funny.
That was some Smokey and a Bandit type shit. who, Aaron, you had, this is right up your alley. Who was the heckler that you could hear? Like, did you catch that?
What was it?
The heckler.
I didn't hear a heckler.
Oh, there was some guy that yelled out, get the fuck out of here, Brian, with your inside information. like some dude, like that one of them neckbeard guys, like leaned over the rail and just said, "Get the fuck out of here with your inside information." Like you had UFO cover-ups.
It's probably Brian Alvarez.
His inside information was he was going to the WWE in about a couple weeks. Which Joey minutes. Already said it.
Yeah, Pillman is definitely...
Go
ahead, Aaron. Sorry. Oh.
Now I was just saying, like they got Mikey down there. And they protected Mikey because they knew he was hurt and they still got him on the show and he didn't have to have a fucking long match with Rob because his knee was fucked up or whatever. I thought it was a good segment. Like I said, it protected Mikey, got him on the show, but he didn't have to do a lot. I didn't think Pillman's promo after was very good.
No, and I think it was... Yeah, he didn't say anything, and I think that this whole appearance by Pillman was pretty much him doing what I'm doing what I have to do, but I'm fucking out of here. You know what I mean? Like he knows he's out. They know he's out.
And I might be wrong, but I know a lot of times like they said that like the narrative is that he was working people and he was out of control or whatever. But he had just came off of that accident. I think Pillman was fucked up here.
I got no problem saying that at all.
And that's why I think the fucking promo was all over the place and off the rails. He was fucked up.
Yeah, he probably had no idea what the whole entire, you know, object of this was at all. No, probably not. I agree 100%, Aaron. Yeah, he probably just thought he was getting paid to be there, and they told him to say something, and he said a bunch of shit, and he thought he remembered something from, you know, a few weeks ago or something.
Yeah, because, I mean, the gist of what he's trying to do, or what he was probably instructed to do, is you're on your way out, we need you to put over this Rob Van Dam kid. Because that's kind of what he's doing, is he's you know what I mean? He's putting Van Dam over because he's on his way to be gone. So Van Dam's going to be the new...
Which, you know, which he kind of did towards the end of it. But I'm saying, like, when he was... Like, towards the end of it, he got back on it when it was, like, talking about Rob. But just that middle... After, like... He beats up Mikey, and just that shit between him beating up Mikey and then putting over Rob, it's just all over the fucking... And I'm not even faulting him for being fucked up, because he just got out of an accident. Like, my thing is, like, why'd you put this guy out there like that? And I know why they did, but it's like, you shouldn't have put that guy
in. Oh, I can totally agree. I can see how we're all thinking about
it. After the match, they did something I thought was a tad bit silly. They just replayed the whole match, but in fast forward.
Yakety sax?
Kind of, yeah. But like, I was like, because they said something about a replay, and I thought, oh, well, they're going to replay the finish or whatever. And no, like, it was almost like the whole match, but it was just like 1.5 speed. And they just, I don't know.
Well, the whole match was only 3 minutes.
I know, but I'm saying, why'd you show it to me again, but fast forwarded?
And who was this?
This was right after the match aired. Joey threw to what he called a replay, and then they like replayed the whole match, but fast forward style.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I thought you were trying to figure out how he threw a Tommy Dreamer thing in there, and he played Yakety Sax to it.
Tommy Dreamer's never done so anything bad. Fast or forward.
Yeah, I bet he moves fast toward the buffet.
To the pay window. Fuck Tommy All Dreamer.
Right. Joey comes back. He hypes up the fact that hypes up Sabu and Rob Van Dam. The suicidal style of Sabu. And then we get a Paul E. Dangerously promo, which he pretty much rehashes the same promo he's cut for the past 3 weeks about Van Dam getting the insider information from Taz about Sabu's injury. So, I mean, he's cut the same promo 3 times, but it's been 3 different promos.
Yeah, Dave Meltzer's the guy. You got to look at Dave Meltzer.
Dave Meltzer would not, it wouldn't work because Dave Meltzer would never get to the fucking point. So Taz, or Van Dam would have just walked away going, I have no idea what he just said. He said like 700 times.
Well, that was he wrote me this note. He'd be like, Dave Meltzer wrote me this note about something about Sabu's neck, but there's no punctuation marks. So I don't know where.
I have no idea what he's supposed to start about.
So he's Elaine.
I actually, one of the things I love it when Brian Alvarez gets tired of Dave Meltzer's shit when they're doing their show together. I was actually listening to them talk about the thing that Tony Khan apparently did with the Bucks, where they had them do the little angle where they kicked him in the gut or whatever. And Meltzer is talking and rambling and trying to make sense out of all this shit. And there's one point where Brian Alvarez just goes, finish the sentence.
Huh. Okay. Isn't that half his newsletter?
So I'm saying he doesn't have punctuation marks in his actual speech.
Well, he still makes a lot of money doing what he does. I can't hate him for that, man.
Oh no! Do what you do, Dave. I don't give him my money, but I don't begrudge him for making money. Absolutely,
you ain't kidding, man. Neither do I.
Because he is no more an expert on the wrestling business than any of the three of us, and he has made money calling himself an expert on the wrestling business. So God bless him. It's all a grift anyway. It's all a work. God bless you, Dave.
50 years.
It still never had any, still hasn't put any punctuation.
Well, you got to put exclamation points. Elaine Bennett's over here. Elaine Bennett's Meltzer. Fuck Dave Meltzer. Maybe that'll get us some clicks.
Who's that? Who's that kid? Who's that kid? I'm done. I'm done with that. Let's move on here. Our next segment on the show is Shane Douglas. And I like this segment. Every bit of it. They talk about how Too Cold Scorpio is sick. He was supposed to be getting a shot at Shane Douglas. So Douglas comes out and he does the heel thing where he calls out anybody, and our old friend El Puerto Ricano comes out to the ring, gets squashed.
Squashed the.
He put up a hell of a fight.
Well, no, I'm saying Nate buried the lead with it. They're starting out with Shane doing the gimmick where he doesn't care about the TV title, because we got to preface that at the end. At the beginning of this, he doesn't care about the TV belt. He's dragging it, and then he gets in the ring. And I actually like the fact that he didn't hold the belt up. He held it waist high and kicked mm-hmm. it. The start of the...
He did kick it.
Yeah, he kicked the belt. He's like, fuck it, you know? The beginning of it is he doesn't give a shit about the TV. I'm just saying, you gotta preface that to get where we're going at the end of it. So, go ahead.
El Puerto Ricano comes out. Shane defeats him. And then we come back, and poor Donnie didn't even get to see Donnie Allen walk to the ring. He's just already there.
Yeah, Darby's dad eats it quick.
Darby's dad.
Dude, it's just amazing how many of us guys, not just me, because I'm already gone, but are still there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not even besides Chubby Dudley or anybody we always joke about that's still there. Donnie's still there. El Porto Beanzo, whatever it is, I don't know what his name is, still there. It's just so many of us that are just still hanging around the locker room, waiting to get used. But that, yet we're only a heat cup away from Supernova. Fuck.
Supernova's even there. He appears. He doesn't get beat, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We're only a heartbeat away from this. But yeah, seven, we have guys
What's that? 7 degrees of separation. It's 7 degrees of supernova.
Well, I hope not. He stinks too. Mike Bucci's a fag.
Did that be the name of the show?
No. No,
I would. I like how we were both no in stereo.
I actually like Mike. I sometimes talk to Mike. So me just saying that.
Mike Bucci's a fag would get.
Yeah. It's like me saying Jeff Jones is a child molester. It doesn't mean anything. It's just me saying what I'm just saying.
I know it can't be the name of the show, but I guess somebody clicks Mike Bucci's a fag, but yeah.
He's a fag.
Well, Shane dispatches Donnie Allen. He dispatches Devin Storm. Mikey Whipwreck even comes out. Shane makes him submit. And then Pitbull, too.
I just want to ask one question.
Sure.
I said, I'm not a wrestler or whatever, obviously. But when we were talking about how they took care of Mikey in that Rob Van Dam match.
Yeah.
Shane hit that weird looking
neck breaker thing.
Texas Cloverleaf on Mikey.
Oh.
It looked like Shane was almost protecting his knee. I don't know. I might be wrong, but
I mean, I'm not gonna, no, don't get me wrong, because I'm not gonna speak about Mikey in any sense, but Mikey was going through a lot of injuries around that time. So I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, Mikey was going through, I don't know, back issues, neck issues, a bunch of issues. And I think the knee issue was something that he pretty much came in with. You know what I mean? I think that was something that, yeah. So I you know, it's fine. I wouldn't have a problem with you talking about it or anything by noticing it. Cause yeah, I think that it was something that he already had going on, but you know, as a worker, and you could always, you know how to work it without hurting him, you know?
Yeah. And that's just what I'm saying. Like I'm a Dean Malenko fan, and obviously Dean used the Texas Cloverleaf a lot. And it's like, when I watched it, it was like Shane hit, like he bent the opposite knee that Dean usually did. So I'm like, it looked weird. I'm like, I think Shane was actually kind of protecting Mikey in that.
Yeah, well, good for him, man.
Whatever, but
yeah, because Shane probably had the next day off or whatever, and Mikey probably had to go pack some boxes. You know, I don't know what the hell I had to do. Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. I'm glad Shane did that. Because I've been a victim of not just me being a victim of, I've been a victim of actually doing it as well, where I've taken advantage of something like that, where I actually worked somebody's bad leg when I probably shouldn't have. But in wrestling, you work by the left side. You work everything the left side, left leg, left arm.
We get to the exclamation point here, and that's why I said I like this segment, because it built well, Shane going through different wrestlers to build up to the altercation with Pitbull 2, who comes out to challenge him for the title. I will let you guys talk about the match, but one thing I wrote down while I was watching this match, Jesus fucking Christ, that guardrail spot. Like, how does Pitbull 2 have testicles left? I've never seen anybody hit their nuts so with so much force on a guardrail watching. Like, I'm like, oh man, that makes me want to puke.
Dude, that was the luckiest nut shot you could possibly imagine.
That one probably went through both, like between both of them.
I'm just like, I don't know how the dude's even fucking walking right now, because
I'm not even sure he is walking right now.
Well, not right now.
No. But at that time, they probably just flopped over each side. Might have just nicked his taint.
God, it looked fucking brutal, though. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, if I had to guess, it would be because he had some sort of a strap on, like not a dick thing, but like a jock strap thing,
right?
And he probably had a pair of like jockeys on over top of that, like underwear, some sort of underwear, and then he had like his regular like stuff on. So yeah, they weren't flipping and a flopping. They weren't out there like a naked innocent boy roaming the countryside, like they were pretty much hemmed up. You know what I mean? But yeah,
that be the name of the show. Can that be the title of the show this week? He probably had a strap on.
Only if he's dead.
You gotta write these down, Nate.
I don't want to run into fucking Pitbull 1.
Yeah, Pitbull 1 and Pitbull 2 were both in rough shape after that spot. Because, yeah, like I said, I was like, Jesus, fuck. I actually wrote down in all caps in my notes, Jesus Christ, that poor man's sack.
Poor man's sack?
Old man's sack? Yeah, who is old man's sack?
I said that poor man's sack. Old man's sack sounds like a mobster. Like, look over there, sit over there, old man's sack.
Okay, old man's sack.
Or someone's going to be read in your divorce court. Poor old man's sack. Me and Eric are going to be just sitting there shaking our heads. Is that your wife, Nate Kendall?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Old man's sack. I can see her getting the chuckle out of it.
Well, now Nate went away.
Oh, he's probably going to yell at Kendall. He's going to yell about the old man's sack. You wouldn't really say that, would you?
Well, I guess I'll keep going with this.
I know her even less than I know him.
So you can't get mad at me for that. Old man sack. Hey, I'm 51. I don't know what I got. I got middle aged sack.
Well, I'm 41.
Oh, it gets better or worse. you wait. Well, I don't wear underwear. I haven't worn underwear since 83.
That's the year I was born.
Well, gravity, buddy. my balls are bigger than some midgets.
But I guess we'll finish this show out because I don't know where Nate went. Like you guys said, Pitbull 2 got his nuts hit off the guardrail, but he returns and ends up getting the super bomb on Shane and becomes the new ECW television champion. And with this, I like the fact that after Shane's lost the TV title, now he wants it. Like it pisses
him off. Yeah, because he did the whole deal. He did the whole deal where he put his hand up to it. Yeah. Right? Because he couldn't accept the fact that he lost it.
Yeah. Like when he had it, he didn't appreciate it. But now somebody's taking it from him and he's pissed off about it because somebody's better than him. And he can't.
Yeah, I thought that was very cool too, man. It was so little Aaron that I thought that it was a way bigger statement than even Joey even made out to be.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. And then just to close the show, we get the return of Pulp Fiction, which we haven't had, I think, for a couple weeks. The Pulp Fiction we get is the Dudley Boys doing their thing, talking about Big Dick being back.
Somebody stole the Eliminator's phone or something.
Yeah. And like I said, I'll go down these. I'm going to go down on these guys. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go down through the list of the Pulp Fiction people.
More people. What kind of show is this?
Yeah. I'm going to go through the people that appeared on Pulp Fiction.
Oof.
It's the Dudley Boys. The Eliminators, which is kind of random because we didn't get anything about them throughout the show.
But it was the same Eliminators promo, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought the Eliminators thing was like, whatever. Like, I didn't be in there because it has
a
show.
Well, a little insider baseball, that leads me to believe that things were going bad between Paul and the Eliminators prior to this, and all of a sudden things are going better, and that's why that was slipped in there, because you're right, it had nothing to do with anything we saw.
And then we get Divine Brown, and she tries to, or she's walking through the ECW arena talking about how crazy it is, and Stevie propositions her twice.
And then she told Stevie she used that bathroom, and he was like, never mind.
Yeah, he's like, you don't even have water socks on, you nasty bitch.
Divine Brown gave that toilet herpes.
Oof. Yeah, I'm just glad I wasn't there.
She walked in and was like, woo, this smells like the headhunters. I got to go.
She was still looking for it. She thought New Jack was in the building.
And then we get Sandman and Missy, and Missy talks about how she likes violence and it makes her want to get naked. She doesn't get naked, so it doesn't matter. And then we get a promo from Tommy and his lesbian friends.
His lesbian friends. Brian Lee.
Yeah, his old lesbian friends. It's Tommy, Kimona, and Beulah. Tommy was babbling about something about fucking Rogan and Brian Lee. And then Brian Lee cuts his promo. And then the show ends with Raven just saying, quote the Raven, nevermore.
I still like Tommy's just, why couldn't the show just end with Tommy just babbling? He's just saying anything. He's reading off like what time movies, you know. That's, yeah.
Why don't you tell me what movie you're in?
It's a movie phone.
Yeah. I know I fell off my... I was just going to say, really quick, before we close out the show, I know my shit fell off, so you guys can be like, fuck your opinion. You weren't here for it. But I really liked the Douglas Pitbull thing and the title win. I thought that was... That whole segment was super effective.
It's like we talked about. It was cool that... and that's why I wanted you to say it before, that going in, Shane didn't want the belt. But now that he doesn't have it, now it's the thing that he wants the most. Like, that's good heel shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like anything Dudley. Fuck it. I'll take anything Dudley's.
And
like I said, a lot of shit happened on this show, but nothing happened on this show.
Nothing happened.
But I still enjoyed it. Point. I still enjoyed it. Because nothing bad happened. Like, the thing that I'm the most tired of in this promotion as we're watching it right now is anything involving Dreamer, the Bruise Brothers, and Brian Lee. And that was all confined to, what, like 13 seconds during Pulp Fiction. And I'm fine with that because I'm over it anyway. But overall, I like the show. It featured the people that I like to watch in ECW. And it built well toward the next show, which is Hardcore Heaven. And I liked this episode.
Yeah, me too.
Listen, I got no problem with it. It was just kind of like a basic... It was a basic show.
What does that mean? A basic show? What the?
I mean, like I said, it just...
Well, was it a complacent show? Was it a showcase show?
It was just a show that it didn't, like I said, it didn't really further anything, but it didn't like hold anything back. It was just kind of there, in my opinion.
All right. So they got a few more weeks to build before they got a pay-per-view. So they're just continuing with stories, is what you're saying, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. I got you. I understand.
It was a decent show. It wasn't a nothing burger. It was a nothing burger with cheese.
And the Dudley's on it.
Well, that being said, before we wrap up this week, I wanted to thank our listeners because we actually had a few, like maybe like 2 or 3 months there where when I look at, I didn't want to come on the show and say anything about where we're ranked with the podcast because I'm like, man, we've been at the 200s for like a few months. I was kind of depressed about it. But in the past 3 weeks, I don't know what happened. But thank you, our listeners. We actually have been in the top 150. Our peak position over the past few weeks was actually in the wrestling category on Apple Podcasts. We've gotten up to 82, which is actually our highest rating yet. Before it was 88. So ratings are back. I think we have actually more viewers than Dynamite. So that's good.
That's sad.
But yeah, I want to thank our listeners for listening. And like we always say, the best way to help a podcast, the best way to help us out is to tell your friends, tell people you know that are old school wrestling fans and like ECW about the show. And anywhere you can comment or give a 5-star rating, whether it's Apple, Spotify, etc., do that because that helps us in the algorithms when people look up pro wrestling podcasts. That kind of moves us up the cert. But thanks to our listeners for getting us back up there in the ratings again. I thought you all left us, but apparently you came back.